I'm going to move quickly into today's message simply because we have some folks who have made a commitment to Christ and they're going to be baptized at the end of today's service. Last Sunday was just stellar. It was really, honestly, for me, it was one of the best Easter services I've ever been in. It was just a great day. Had the choir up here singing and rocking and rolling. It was excellent. And then just what the Lord did, around 20 people raised their hand and said, I'm committing my life to Christ today, which was just huge. Yeah, go ahead and give the Lord praise for that. And now there's some folks that are doing the right thing and they're getting baptized today and you're going to hear their testimonies in a few minutes. And I'm just thrilled about that. I'm thrilled about the people who have made a decision and now they're following through with their walk with the Lord. That's something we all could work on. Each of us, have you ever been in that place where, like, you knew that there was a time where you were drawn close to God, like you were doing all the things and you could sense God's presence? Like he was so close to you. It was like he was just a word away, a breath away, like you could just reach out and touch him, and you felt like you were just walking with him all day long. Has anybody here ever experienced that beside me? And how interesting it is, though, that there are some times when, as life goes on, things change, and maybe we get distracted, and our focus gets removed, and as our focus gets removed, while we love God and we love his presence, there are some things that take place, and now it seems like maybe we just don't feel as close, as connected to him. And many times it's because the things that we were doing when we were connected to him, we are no longer doing. Today I want to talk to you about what I consider to be one of the most important words in the New Testament. And it's not a high-profile word. It's not a word that a lot of people talk about. But you see it up on the screen already, it's the word remain. Will you just say with me, remain?
Yeah. Remain.
I think it's an essential word in the walk of anybody who is a follower of Christ for us to remain. And a few moments ago, I talked about how that we do things, and when we do those things, many times we feel so close and we remain close to him. And then there are some times when we seem so far away. In your bulletin, you're going to find there's a handout. And if you're a guest here, I do handouts and gives you a chance to take some notes and maybe take them home and contemplate it. But there is a questionnaire on there today, something a little bit unusual for us. And I'm going to ask everybody, make sure that you pull it out and it says remain. And then there's some questions. I'm going to go down through a list. I'm going to talk to you about those. Maybe you're like me and you often do one or more of these things. Here we go. Are you ready? Anybody here? And you could check these off. As you go down through them, maybe if you've had this happen in your life. Anybody here ever been unloving? Don't put your hand up, honestly. We don't need that piece of information, but we know anyway. But here's the deal, unloving. And let me just talk a little bit about what that looks like. Easily lose your temper. Inconsiderate to other people. Judgmental, talk down to people, unloving. If you just go ahead and be honest and go mark it down if that's one of yours. Here's the next one. Are you ready? Depressed. Now, I'm using the word depressed only because it's probably the closest thing I could get to one word, what I'm looking for, because depression has a lot of variations and a lot of different levels to it. But the portion of this I'm looking for is that you lack joy, that you're not inspired, you're miserable. You feel alone, maybe even feel abandoned, depressed, like you're on the negative side of emotions. Now, I want to talk about this for a second, and I just want to kind of just take a point off of this and say, I understand that there's a portion of depression that is more than just disposition. There's a portion of depression that is actually a physical condition, that it's a biological condition, that the chemistry in our brain or the chemistry in our system isn't working adequately, and we end up in depression. Now, let me just talk about that for a second. First of all, what we want to do is we want to pray that the Lord will heal you, because we believe God heals. But the second side of that, let me also say, there are a lot of people that have some kind of a pride issue that they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to have it. They don't want to talk to their doctor about it, when it is simply a chemical issue. And treating it would be the same thing as treating diabetes or a heart condition or any other symptom, any other condition in the human body. So if yours happens to be a biological issue, then I would challenge you, let us pray for you. And second of all, talk to your doctor about getting some treatment and don't allow pride to stand in the way of you getting better. That's good preaching, Brother Paul. I'll just go ahead and move on. But that's not necessarily what I'm talking about here in this context. I'm talking about where there's a disposition issue. That there's a melancholy side that somehow it ends up taking away from the joy of life. Here we go. Here's the third one. Are you ready? Worry. Worry. And what that is that you're afraid, that you have fear, you're anxious, you're lacking peace. And some of you are afraid to check that off, you know? And don't worry, if the person sitting next to you has anxiety, go ahead and pick up the pen and mark it off for them. No, don't do that. Impatience. Yeah, if you had to pick up the pen and mark the person's paper sitting next to you, you're probably impatient. I'm not going to wait for you to go mark that down. I'll go ahead and mark it down for you, impatience. Rushed, demanding. Some of you are sitting here and you're thinking that the sermon is already too long. You're probably impatient. And you probably, if that's your thought, you probably qualify for the next one. Rudeness. Rudeness. You're short with people. Sarcastic. There are some people think that sarcasm is a gift. It's not. You're probably just a jerk. Aren't you glad you came to church today? Here we go. Sinfulness. Sinfulness. Now, this is just blatant disobedience. It's like, I know to do the right thing, chose not to do it. Knew to go in one direction, went in another direction. Sinfulness. Rebelliousness. Here's the next one. Harshness. You're hard on the people you love. You speak down to them. You don't mince words with them. Harshness. Next one, unfaithfulness. Unfaithfulness, we generally think of unfaithfulness when it comes to marriage, but there are a lot of different levels of unfaithfulness. It's possible to be unfaithful in loyalty to friends, to church, to the people that you like. It's possible to be disloyal in friendship. And let me show you where it kind of plays out sometimes where there's unfaithfulness in it. When you engage in gossip about friends, however well-meaning it might be, the reality is it's unfaithful to their friendship. Gossip is unfaithfulness. You might be unfaithful in mind or actions. There are sometimes when I talk to people honestly, and I'm pretty good about reading people. There are sometimes when I'm talking to people and we're all kind of jumping in, and then there's that one person that isn't, and then later on you find out that they just didn't buy into it. And I'm okay with people on a different mindset, but the truth is if they talk about it in another arena and didn't talk about it in that arena, they're being really unfaithful as far as presenting honest ideas. Unfaithfulness. Here's the last one. Are you ready? Self-indulgence. Self-indulgence is laziness. It's a lack of discipline. It's indulgent in whatever it is that your flesh or your desires want at that time. Self-indulgence. Okay, now here's the deal. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but how many of you at least checked one? How many at least checked one? Okay. If you didn't check one, there was one I left off of there. It's liar. And you could just go ahead and write it in. Okay, how many checked at least two? Go ahead and be honest. Go ahead. Okay, now we'll get serious here. How many checked four? Maybe four. God bless you guys for being honest. If you checked all nine, you get a go straight to hell. Do not pass go. Do not. No, it's not true. All All of us at some point or another are guilty of these. Now, I've kind of set you up in this, and let me tell you how I've set you up. These are actually the opposite characteristics of what the Bible would call, in Galatians 5th chapter, the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I hear people refer to it, and they call them the fruits of the Spirit. It's really just one thing. You are embodied in the Spirit. The Spirit lives in you, dwells in you if you're a follower of Christ. And in that, it bears fruit. Galatians, the 5th chapter, gives us the list of the fruit. And this is really what our life should be looking like. But the fruit of the Spirit, for those who are followers of Christ, for those who are Spirit-filled believers, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, is joy, is peace, is patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, when we talk about those things, often we consider those things to be goals, but they're not. They're the natural outgrowth of life in the Spirit. John, the 15th chapter, and I want you to read with me what Jesus says. And these are the words of Jesus. And here's where this important subject of remaining comes in. John, the 15th chapter, Jesus says in the 4th verse, remain in me and I will, somebody say it with me, remain in you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. In order for a branch, and you and I are the branches that are connected to Christ, what must that branch do? It must remain in the vine. Neither you can bear fruit unless you remain in me. Verse number 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will. His life will bear fruit, much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, this is an interesting word, this word remain. If you were to study the book of John, and anytime somebody comes to the Lord, and if they don't own a Bible, we offer to help them get a Bible. And I've bought Bibles for a lot of folks here at Christ Church because we think that you should have a Bible. And I almost always recommend that the first thing that you read is the book of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the reason why is because it really describes who Christ is. It's not just a collection of stories. It really talks about his character and who he is as God. And so the major theme of the book of John is love. But there's a secondary theme in the book of John, and that secondary theme is remain. In fact, the word remain is used 43 times in the book of John. So obviously, it's a pretty significant theme in the book of John. And here's the idea behind that is that because of God's love for us, because he compels us with his love, he invites us into life, and his life then flows through us. In fact, scripture says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. New life reigns in us when we come to Christ. And the amazing thing about it, we had 20 people last week that made a commitment to follow Christ in a new life. The important thing about that, though, is not raising your hand on Easter Sunday. It's not even joining a church. It's not even signing some card, and we're thankful that you did all of those things. But you know what's the most important thing about giving your life to Christ is remaining in him, to live this thing out, to walk it out. And many times we say, well, I made a commitment. I went to church. I gave my life. I prayed a prayer, and that it didn't work for me. That just didn't work for me. And I would propose that quite possibly the reason why that it didn't work was simply because you didn't understand the concept of remaining, being connected to him, being connected to him as a branch is to the vine. In that passage we read just a few moments ago in verse number 5, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. It would be like having a branch that fell on the ground. I have 2 big oak trees in my yard. And occasionally, honestly, just like out of nowhere, a branch will fall off that tree. I don't understand it. It's like no one climbs the trees, but it's just like the branch falls off of the tree. And you know what? It's a part of my oak tree. But the reality about it is it's now dead. It's actually not going to do anybody any good. It's not going to bear fruit. It's not going to be beautiful. It's not going to have leaves. It's not going to do any good for anybody simply because it is separated from the tree. When you and I, as believers, when we try to live our life separated from the tree, the reality is it comes to no good end. Somebody might say, well, all of those things that you mentioned in Galatians, the fifth chapter, they are virtue. They're virtuous that any good person can do. Now, let me give you a little bit of understanding about the difference between virtue and something that is the fruit of the Spirit. Virtue, if it's born out of a person's heart and born out of an individual, the Bible says that we are born in sin and corrupt. And that anything that we do, even well-meaning things that we do, if it's birthed out of our flesh, it eventually leads to decay and corruption and death. And so I might mean to do something good, but the truth is it will ultimately decay and die and end badly. But when it's born of the Spirit, it has life. So the reality about this is it can't be just something that you make your mind up to do because then it's will and your intention. But rather, when you are connected to the vine, when you're connected to the vine, the natural outgrowth of your life is then the fruit of the Spirit. It's not even a goal. It's not even something. You don't wake up in the morning and go like, I'm going to be more patient. I'm going to be long suffering. I said I'm going to be, It's not a decision that you make. It's not like you wake up in the morning and go like, I'm going to bear fruit. Watch this. Honestly, it's not something you do. You don't have a goal or a focus of bearing fruit. You have one goal, one focus, and that one goal and that one focus is this: remaining connected. Remaining in Christ. And when you're connected to Him, when you remain in Him, then your life bears fruit. Have you ever watched anybody? And I've watched people who have had significant commitments to God and been influencers. I know of one lady that she was a teacher and influential in the community. And honestly, people went to her for advice, went to her. And then her husband came into his business, really prospered. And he got a lot of money, promotion, and so they decided they were going to renovate their house. The interesting thing was she was known that she prayed every morning. Like, she spent a lot of time in prayer every morning, half an hour, 45 minutes every day in prayer. She devoted her finances to God. And then as they were remodeling their house and they were doing a major renovation, instead of meeting with God first thing in the morning, she started to meet with interior designers and construction people, and she had phone calls to bankers and her people that she had to talk to, and it was a matter of a couple of months that she no longer was praying. It wasn't very much long after that that she stopped attending church. It wasn't long after that that she confessed that she wasn't sure if she even believed in God anymore. And I would tell you, it came from one thing, and that is she was no longer connected to the vine. If you're not connected to the vine, you will simply die. And so today I'm talking to you because there are a lot of people that I know that you're wondering how you're going to do this thing. How am I going to live for God? How am I going to live in purity? How am I going to live and be the kind of person, say the kind? There's one way to do that. Your one simple focus ought to be remaining in Him. There are people that you've seen in your life and people that I've seen in my life that honestly, when I've watched them do something in their life, maybe make a moral failure, I'm like, I'd never do that. Each of us are just a few decisions away from doing whatever it is that we don't think we would ever do if we simply don't stay connected to the vine. We have to remain in Him. And so there's some awesome things. I'm going to give you a couple of things, and then we're going to watch some folks who have said, I'm connected to the vine, and I want to make a public commitment. Here's the first thing. Are you ready? You will possess spiritual power if you're connected to Him. John 15, verse 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you will ask what you wish and it will be given to you. Now, let me just tell you, there are a lot of people who use this out of context. And I've associated with some of those folks at some point in my life, and they've named it and claimed it, and as some people say, blabbed it and grabbed it, and they've done all sorts of things, and they've claimed houses and cars and jewelry and finances and money and wealth. And I know of one lady, and she did this on public television, so I don't have any problem telling about this story, and I don't mean that, I'm not trying to be negative about her, but this is her story. She was in her 40s, was getting married for the very first time, and her fiance, who was also a minister, gave her a 7-carat diamond. She said, I was worth waiting for, and so I made sure that he's going to give me a big diamond. Gave her a 7-carat engagement ring diamond. And then she said that her other hand got jealous. And so that she demanded that her other hand would have a matching 7-carat diamond ring. And she said, I've followed Christ and I've been pure, and so I deserve this. And the reality about all of that is the problem with it is her focus, honestly, is not Christ. Her focus is the stuff. And when you read this, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, whatever you wish it will be given to you. Let me just tell you where that landed. About a year after they went through the whole 14-carat diamond wedding, they were both arrested in the parking lot of a hotel in Atlanta, Georgia, for slapping the daylights out of each other. Now, seriously, now, you know what that says to me? I'm sad for us. I'm sad for them. But you know what it says to me? They were more connected to the diamond rings than they were connected to Jesus. That's good preaching, Brother Paul. When it goes bad like that, you know what it means? That we're just simply not connected to Jesus. If you remain in me, my words remain in you. Whatever you wish, it will be given to you. You know what happens when I'm in him and I'm abiding in him and I start to pray about something that I really shouldn't have and I'm abiding in him? You know what he does? He starts to filter that prayer. No, you shouldn't be praying for that. The Holy Spirit, like, check mark, check that off the list. You don't need that in your life. If I'm remaining in him, even my prayers, my desires become his desires. His desires become my desires. His wishes, his heart becomes my heart. If I remain in him, many times what we want to do is we just want to jump down to, you can ask whatever you want and you'll get it. But the qualifier is you have to remain in him. You get that if you are connected to him. His desires become your desires. And that's honestly, when you pray that kind of a prayer, and the Lord answers that kind of prayer, your faith flourishes so much. When you say, Lord, whatever it is your will is for my life, whatever it is that you want for me, I'll do whatever you want for me, whatever you, I'm submitted to you. And then all of a sudden, when he blesses you with something, your faith is so much stronger in him. It's easy for us to get distracted on the stuff. It's easy for us to get distracted on our desires. It's easy for us to get distracted on even our incompetence and our failures as Christians. But you know what he's saying? He's saying, don't get hung up on that stuff. Make your focus one thing, remain. Remain in me. I'm gonna give you 5 different ways to remain, and then I'm gonna close. And Sean, if you'll come back, where'd Sean go? He left me completely. He no longer remains. To say. 5 different ways to remain in Christ. Five different ways to remain in Christ. Number one, here, are you ready? Remain in God's word. Remain in God's word. The Lord's kind of been convicting me. Like, I'm social media oriented. I like social media. I'm on Facebook. I have the Facebook app. How many have smartphones? How many? Go ahead. Don't be ashamed. How many have Facebook on your smartphone? Okay. Here's the deal is I also have the YouVersion Bible on my smartphone. I love it. You know, it's one of the highest distributed apps in the world. I think like 170 million. You know what the Lord's been convicting me about? Is that I have Facebook on my phone and I have the Bible on my phone. And I spend more time on Facebook on my phone than I do on my Bible on my phone. Honestly, that I'm more interested in what you have to say about life than I am what the Word of God has to say about life. If you abide in me and my Word abides in you. So the Lord's been kind of convicting me about that whole Facebook thing. I know some of you are right now, you're pulling out your cell phone to put on Facebook. You know, can we just make sure that we're paying attention to what God's word has to say to us? Here's the second one. To remain in Christ, remain in Christian fellowship. Remain in Christian fellowship. Listen, no one in the world wants you to win or succeed more than the people sitting in this room with you right now. There's no one else as on your team as the people that are sitting in this room right now. We believe in God's potential down inside of you, and there's nothing more that the enemy would love to do than to take you away and pull you away from the rest of the vine. Because I have to tell you, when you're around people, when you're around other believers, I've had connection groups in my home. Connection groups are groups that meet in homes throughout the city. I've had connection groups until this last year. I've had connection groups in my home for the last 5 or 6 years. And I have to tell you, some of the greatest spiritual experiences that I've had in my life in the last 10 years have happened in my connection group. And I don't mind telling you, I haven't had one this year because we're building a church building, and I can feel the difference in my spirit. And so there's a part of me that's like, man, I just have to get around God's people. I just have to spend, and the 3 minutes that we do in the aisle thing here, let me just tell you, I love that you're friendly, but there's a difference between being friendly and being connected. I'm challenging you to be connected to the body of Christ. And I'll just say one other thing, and I'll just take this last rabbit trail here for a second. There are sometimes when people leave a church, and I understand people are going to leave. There are some times when they need to leave and, you know, maybe God's calling them to do something different or go to another place and there's a work that he's going to do in them. But there are some times when people just, like out of nowhere, come up with a reason why they're going to leave church. Like, I'm going to leave church because, you know, they started using blue lights and I don't like blue lights, you know. I mean, you know, they create an offense and everybody's going like that was... How did they get offended, or why are they offended all of a sudden about that? You know what I've realized many times, if you watch, many times they don't go down the street and find another church without blue lights. Many times they just stop going. And you know what it says to me is there's a part of their heart that just simply didn't want to be connected. There was another focus. There was another thing that they were wanting to do, because here's the deal is if you get offended here, honestly, if there's something that we're doing that you don't like, talk to us about it first of all. But then if we can't remedy that, you know what I'm going to challenge you to do? Go down the street and find another church. But whatever you do, don't disconnect yourself from fellowship. That's good preaching, Brother Paul. Here we go. Number three, remain consistent in prayer. Consistent in prayer. There's a resource here. There's a power here that we just miss. And I'm not just talking about driving through the parking lot. Lord, let me get a parking space near the door. Yeah, I'm not talking about that kind of prayer. I'm talking about sitting down and spending time with God. A few weeks ago, we had 24-hour prayer. And I have to tell you, I'll just say it. 24-hour prayer, we have a congregation here. Regular attendance, 450, 500 people, probably 800 to 900 people associated to our congregation. And I know some of it was through the night, but we had less than 30 people that signed up for prayer. And that's okay. And I'm not chiding you because you could pray at home and I understand that. But I have to tell you, I came to this place and there were some others that came to this place. And it's like God was doing something so deep and rich in this room. I was like, I don't want to go home. And I went home and I came back a couple hours later and went home and came back. I set my alarm clock to come back at 3 o'clock in the morning because there was just something so big that God was doing. And it was like for the first time in a long time, I had the opportunity just to sit with a Bible in my hand and there was other people around praying and just be in the presence of God. No distraction, no other voice, no television, no nothing but me and God and just tell him all about it. And I have to tell you, in those moments, like I was able to pour stuff off of my soul and pour stuff off of my spirit. I'm going to challenge you, spend some time with God. Not even just telling him all the stuff that you need. Just talking to him, telling him where you are. And then spend some time and just listen. Remain consistent in prayer. Here's the fourth one. Are you ready? Remain amazed by God's creation. Now, I have to tell you, I love the mountains and everything, but there are some people, and this doesn't completely fit for me, but I know it fits for some other folks. But here's what we do know. The book of Romans says that nature teaches us that God exists. If we just look around, honestly, you know, science still believes that bees can't fly. You know, when you see a bee flying, honestly, it's a miracle that God created that bee and it can fly. Be amazed by God's creation. A few weeks ago, I challenged our staff back in the month of February, I believe it was. And we didn't talk about it publicly, but I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to put this challenge out to you. We had a day of staff solitude. It was a work day, and I told them, don't come to work on that day. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to figure out where you're going to go. Go to the beach, find a park, find a trail, find someplace. Take your Bible with you, take a book with you, and spend the day not on the telephone, not on an iPad, not doing anything else, but just you and God. And I have to tell you, staff came back from that and they were like, wow, we felt so connected with God. And they're like, can we do that every week? And I'm like, you got to work sometime, you know? But be amazed by God's creation. So I'm putting this out there. Will you consider in the next week or two a day of solitude? No phone, no computer, no. Find a park, find a trail, find someplace, and go spend the day alone with you and God. Here's the last one. Remain faithful in service. You can tell where a person's heart is by what they're passionate about. You can tell where a person's heart is by what they serve, by what they're devoted to. If you are devoted to your finances, if your finances are your highest priority, you know what you'll serve? You'll serve your finances. If finding a spouse is your highest priority, you know what you're going to do? You're going to serve that. We all serve somebody. We all serve somebody. You know, like, I'm an atheist. I don't serve anybody. Oh, don't fool yourself. Everybody serves somebody. Everybody serves something. What do you serve? What are you passionate about? And I'll just go down this road one last time here and say, you know, one of the things that I talked to the staff about this, when somebody who's been serving here at our church comes in and says, I don't want to serve anymore, I'm like, well, would you like to find a place if you don't want to be in children's ministry? Would you like to be, you know, somewhere else, an usher, greeter, parking lot attendant, cafe? Do you want to be on the prayer team? No, I just don't want to serve anymore. This is the truth. I'll say to the staff, we have to be on guard for them because it's a sign that somebody isn't remaining. It's a sign that their heart is drifting, that their passion isn't connected. And so I'm going to challenge you. Remain in service. Remain in service. Verse number 6 in chapter 15 again. If anyone does not remain in me, is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire. Like God's saying, like, man, he's not going to sustain something that isn't connected to him. So today I'm going to challenge you. Will you find the places in your heart and in your mind and your spirit where you're just simply not remaining. Don't wake up tomorrow morning going like, I got to be more loving. I got to be more pure. I got to be more kind. I got to be more self-control. No, I have to be more connected. And when you do that, here's the deal is because there are some folks you're like, okay, I got to live a more pure life. I got to quit doing this. I got to quit my addiction. When you simply remain in him, you'll find the source of power to do all of those things. He's the source. He's the source for that. And when you're connected to him, when your one focus is, I'm connected to him, I'm remaining in him, I'm worshiping, I'm praying, I'm seeking him, I'm connected with him at all times, then you'll find out that you're connected to the source of your power. One last thing and I'll close. Whatever is in the tree is in the branch. Whatever's in the tree is in the branch. And so if you're connected to God, whatever's in him is in you. That's where you want to live your life. I want to pray for you today because there are some of you today, like you just need to reconnect with God. You need to simply remain in him. And there's a part of your heart that you're saying like, man, like I don't know where I am in all of this. I've tried and I've worked and it's just not, you know, I'm going to tell you, focus on one thing. Simply remaining. It's not the checklist, the good, the bad list. It's not whether I'm going to be nice or unkind or I'm not going to cuss anymore. I'm not going to do my addiction. It's not any of those. It's one thing. I'm going to simply remain. And he'll filter through all of that stuff. He'll give you the source. He'll give you the power to do it if you'll just remain in him. Dear Heavenly Father, I come before you and Lord, there are individuals in this place today that they're trying to do this on their own and they cannot do it on their own. It's simply a virtuous work of their own flesh and it's exhausting. And so Lord, today we need you. We're crying out for you. We're declaring that we need you, our one true living God, who is the source of life and the source of power for us. Lord, your word declares that in you we live and move and have our being. Lord, if our identity is in anything else but in you, Lord, we lay it aside today. If our focus is on anything else but you, we lay it aside today. It's you we have to have. It's you who makes us new. It's you who gives us strength. And so, Lord, we're asking you that by your Spirit, as we reach out to you today and we say, God, we have to have you. As we reach out to you today to connect with you, the vine, Lord, we're asking you that we would learn to abide in you. Learn to abide in your presence. Learn to abide in your Spirit. And Lord, as we do that, as we're in you, you'll be in us. We receive you, Lord. We receive your strength. We receive your power. We receive all that you have for us today. We receive the life that you have for us today.